Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. My name is Jenny White, and this is my show. Tonight, we're going to have an interview with a Vietnam veteran. And we all know that the Vietnam War was not a declared war. It was first being fought with French Indochina when it was against the communist-led Vietnam. Most of the funding for the French war effort was provided by the United States. After the French quit Indochina in 1954, the United States assumed financial and military responsibility for the South Vietnamese state. U.S. involvement escalated in 1960 under the President John F. Kennedy. Troop levels gradually surged from just under 1,000 in 1959 to 16,000 in 1963. By 1964, there were 23,000 troops in Vietnam. But this escalated further following the 1964 Gulf of Tonkin incidents, in which a U.S. destroyer was alleged to have clashed with North Vietnamese fast attack craft. In response, President Lyndon B. Johnson was giving authorization to increased U.S. military presence, deploying ground combat units for the first time and increasing troop levels to 184,000. Every year forward, there was significant buildup of forces despite little progress. Direct U.S. military involvement ended August the 15th, 1973. During the war, or after the war, there were 58,220 service members that died in the conflict, and 1,626 remain missing in action. We have a guest tonight who's going to talk to us about the Vietnam War. Her name is Miss Fanny Johnson. And if you have a question or you would like to make a comment, I would ask you to press the 1 on your telephone pad and you will be streaming live with Miss Johnson. But right now, we're going to go to a commercial and we'll be right back. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know, if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. Hi, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. We're interviewing a Vietnam veteran, and her name is Miss Fanny Johnson. Miss Johnson, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you. I would like to tell you I appreciate you for being my guest tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, I can call you Miss Fanny Johnson because I don't know if you have another title since you've been in the service. So if you do, can you let us know?
I'm Fanny.
Okay. So first, tell us a little bit about who Miss Fanny is and who she was before she entered into the military.
Okay, well, actually, I entered in the military about a year after graduation from Cass Technical High School. Back in the day, I graduated in 1961, some time ago. I wanted to go to college, but the money was a problem. They didn't have the grants and whatever that they do now, and I was told that you could get military money for educational fund if you join the armed forces. So I don't think my father liked it very much, and a lot of people tried to talk me out of it, but my mother didn't. So I went on in, and I'm glad I did. It was a great experience, and I was able to use that, they called it the GI Bill at that time, to go to college and get it paid for.
All right. So did you get a degree?
I did. I, in service, I say nurse, but it was more like a practical nurse's training that the Army trained me for in San Antonio, Texas. But, during that time, I realized I was not cut out to be a nurse. So I went to college for social work.
Oh, okay.
And after all that time, I spent 32 years with the state of Michigan with the Human Services Department. I think they called it the Social Services at that time before I retired in 2002. So,
okay,
I ended
so,
up being a,
So you were in the service. Did you go to any foreign countries or anything?
Yes, I did. I was in Vietnam for a very short time. I was also in Germany for maybe 2 years. I got married, and when you get married, you'll want to go to the place where your husband is, and they did not have any women's Army Corps in Germany in the place where we were, so I was able to get out and locate with him there.
So how long were you in service?
I was in service for almost 3 years. It was, I think it was like 2 months short of 3 years out on marriage.
Okay.
You can do that in certain circumstances.
So you enlisted. You weren't, they weren't drafting women. No, they weren't drafting women.
No, in those days, women, that was before women's liberation. And before women's liberation, the women did not have combat duty. And they were given special privileges, you know, special privileges as a woman. That's no longer true. The women do what the men do now. And
well, you know,
really.
We asked for that.
Yes, we did. I don't know whether I should say it or not, but as black women, I think we've always been liberated, so we knew look in that direction.
Mm-hmm. No, you can say that loud and proud. Yeah. So now, what branch of the service were you in?
Women's Army Corps. Women's
Army
Corps.
Oh, so you were in the Army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, I remember that. Okay. So what, was your husband in the Army as well?
He was. He was medical also. Mm-hmm.
So how long was he in?
Oh, he was in for a total of about 10 years.
And you followed him wherever he went?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you were shy of 3 years, could you just quit? I mean...
Oh, no, you can't quit. They have certain rules. And
okay.
They didn't, at that time, they didn't want to break up married couples. So I received an honorable discharge.
Okay.
And the reason was marriage, because in Germany, the part where they sent him, they didn't have any... they didn't have any women in the Army stationed there. So they allowed me to get out so that I could be with him.
So you didn't actually see any combat?
I did not see combat, but I did see the men that were wounded in combat.
Okay.
Direct contact, really.
That had to be a horrific experience. You want to tell us about it?
It was horrific. And
any special one that stands out in your mind?
Well, the burns. I think when people are actually burned, and someone with chemical burns and whatever, the pain that they were going through, just with that that stifling weather, it was terrible. But they were shipped, you know, back to the United States pretty quickly. If there were wounds from gunshots that weren't, you know, that bad, they patch you up and you go. They would send them back out to combat. But the burns really were really terrible, and after that period, I was sent to Colorado, to Aurora, Colorado, Fitzsimmons Army Hospital, and end up in the burn unit. I think that's why it just stays on my mind so much.
So that's when you were going to be a nurse?
That's when I was, yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's when you fell out of liking nursing, huh?
Well, I just was not cut out to be a nurse, and that really made me realize it, because if you're going to be a nurse, you have to be able to accept any type of injury, disease, or whatever, and... Boy, I was crying most of the time, so I knew I should not be there.
Oh, you were crying worse than the patients? Is that what you're saying?
I sure was. Mm-hmm. I was able to do the work, but
you just had empathy
with
them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a caller. wants to talk to you, caller. Would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
Hello, Jenny White.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay. And to our guest tonight, Miss Fanny Johnson, I'd like to ask, when you talk about burns, were they burns from the Agent Orange or something like that? Or the, napalm that they were using?
Chemical burns, and it was from, and the problem with it was that wasn't like a regular, you know, burn with fire, and it would stick to the skin and continue burning, and it was gruesome, really.
Okay.
Terribly painful, and you knew how much actual pain they were in, and just feeling helpless, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did anyone die when you were treating them?
Yes, people did die. Wasn't personally people that I personally knew, but they were flesh and blood human beings, and it just should not have been.
I can understand that.
So you were not in agreement with the war?
Well, at the time, I was really just, that was 19, early 20s. And I just knew that I was there, you follow orders. And I didn't think of it like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's real interesting.
Pardon me?
So that's interesting. You just, you know, like you said, just follow orders.
Follow orders. Mm-hmm.
Follow orders.
I wasn't thinking politically or... just wasn't thinking politically at the time, and just following orders.
Well, that's what you do in the military.
That's what you do in the military.
That is something. Mm-hmm. Did you see the result of can you give us some insight? Did you treat anyone with post-traumatic? Can you tell us how that played out when you were there as a nurse?
You know, I don't think they thought about that much at that time.
Okay, then.
That's something
that came up
in the past, I'm going to say, few years.
Right.
And now they know that things that... affect you can still be with you later on in life and just impede your progress. You know, you're depressed and whatever. And the same scenes keep coming back. I do remember one person that was on my staff when I was a supervisor with the Department of Social Services, and his wife would tell me that she would wake him up with a broomstick, and this was like 20 years after the war or more, because he would wake up fighting and, of course, be sorry about it. But that was a real-life person who was tormented continually for years, and I, at that time, he just had to go to work. They weren't really thinking about any post-traumatic stress. You know, at that time, he just had to deal with it, go to work, and take care of his family.
That is, somewhat relates to that. Yeah, to you know, it's something going on because. It was when I was in 59, just to share the experience I had you talk about fire. We were all in my house together, and I was 11 or 12. My sister Brenda was, but my parents were gone. In fact, they went out to play cards, and we lived near the Eastern Market. And so we were all waiting for wrestling to come on. If that's a big time wrestling to come on, Dick the Bruiser and all that stuff, you know, back then. We were waiting on wrestling to come. And with all the rest of it, there was six of us in the house, and we were asleep. My sister, older sister was one that was woke. And she had me go to Mom and Daddy's room. We lived in the back, this wooden house, and people lived upstairs over us. And so I still recall that she came up and she saw the fire. And she got us all up. Get up, get up. You know, we came out there half naked, half this and that. She grabbed, I think my sister Zola was the baby. And she grabbed up Zola. That's my sister Brenda. And when I think of that, I relive the whole thing. And I saw this house just go up in smoke, you know. And all of this started to happen. And it was around that time that I started having asthma attacks. My mother said I was born with asthma. I never had, didn't have any problems. But I started having attacks over, and actually this attack lasted me up until I finally got some kind of control over it. But I was at receiving hospital nearly every night. You know, my parents had to take me there for these shots they give you. And I was just, it was just horrible for years. One time I was trying to go to school, and I felt that I looked at, I had to go down past the graveyard near Waterloo, going ahead toward Miller Junior High. And I looked in that grave and those people in the grave, and I was angry because I wasn't there with them. I was just that sick at, you know, around 12, you know. And so years later, when I was telling my supervisor, when I worked at Detroit Rescue Mission Ministry, I was telling her about it, just what happened in the fire. And all of a sudden, I burst out crying, like, it just happened, you know. And she said, you're okay, you're okay. She kept, you know, but it keeps recurring a lot of times. A lot of times when I start thinking about it, I get to cry about it. We were saved and everything, but it's still there with me. So I can understand someone, that thing is still in your mind. It keeps going on and on and on and stuff. I have to pray and ask the Lord to calm me down, but it's very easy, stuff like that, to see this fire burning the house. Most people upstairs, they had to come out on our porch. The fire department was right around the corner. They had to come out on our porch, on over our porch, to get those people out. They would have burned up in that house. Before the fire department turned the corner, our house was going up in smoke, and my parents lost everything, you know. But we just the children. All the children were burning up in those houses back then, you know.
True.
Around that time, the house just smoke and smoke, and about 5-10 kids dead, you know. And it was traumatic, but I can understand when something keeps repeating over and over and over in your mind, and you just can't get any rest from that. You know, you just can't get any rest. And I saw the results of it because I was having these major asthma attacks. And then this one guy, he said, I think you need some psychiatric help. And I said, oh, you mean I'm crazy? You know, what a deal. But, you know, I had to deal with it, learn how to deal with it, and bring asthma under control. So I can understand that post-traumatic, it keeps going on and on and on. And a lot of people, you try to talk to a lot of the men who went through Vietnam, they don't talk to you about it. They won't talk to you about it, not really.
But you know
because
what
I have to live with it.
I asked the Lord to help me with bad memories like that. And I'm thankful that I've been able to, I guess you would call it blocking out some of the, you know, the memories like that so that I'm free. I have to say it
that
way. I'm free of it. And I thank the Lord for that. I really do. Stressful things that have happened. I can remember happier things that have happened much more than that. I don't know whether that's good or not or whether it would get me later or whatever. But, you know, in my middle 70s now, It has worked for me. In
that
a good
means a
way.
Lot, yeah.
It means a lot.
Because you don't know.
Well,
I remember this one. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I remember this one, and working with social services, this one guy came in, And that was during the time we opened up a general assistance case for him. And then I got news that he was a young guy, you know. And so it came over that he was getting some VA benefits. And I said, what you getting VA benefits for? I said, where you been? You ain't been up, you know, my mind is still on Vietnam. He said, I was in, what's it called, when we went to Iraq, Desert Storm. And I looked at him, I said, okay. You know, you never think of him. He said, I was in Desert Storm. And he was a young guy, you know, he was already getting VA benefits. So you wonder what was really happening. I didn't go any further to ask him, though. But he said, I said, you're getting your VA check now and stuff. So, you know, you never really know what it's doing to our people. I know my cousin was saying, her and her husband ran up in the bed. You know, he went to Vietnam. He's a beautiful minister. So I was like, he jumped up off the bed. Say, what's wrong with you? You know, but they have these reactions, you know. They really have these reactions.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't like to talk about it either, because I have a friend and her son was in the service, in the military, and he says he can't sleep at night. He wakes up all the time. But just like you said, post-traumatic syndrome can happen to anyone. You don't have to be in the military.
True.
It's just
true.
One of those disastrous events that happens to you and you can't get away with it. And it's like, now I've always heard that in Vietnam, you know, the children were taught to shoot as well. And if you run up on a kid who's going to shoot you, what do you do? Do you not shoot that child? But if you don't, that child will shoot and kill you.
Or the women, and some of the men were, you know, they were wanting the women, and they had ways to disable the men trying to have sex. So it was a difficult situation, it really was. You know, I can remember, too, this was those that had lost limbs.
Yes.
They still had... if your right leg was gone, you know, young man may ask me to scratch his right foot. The foot.
Oh, wow.
You know, the feeling that is still there.
They
and that
feel, yes.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's
and
interesting.
Limbs
wow.
missing. I don't know. It was... we fight wars, and we may be in for another one soon, but one situation, though, it was, I just came from a cruise. We went on a cruise in May, and they had a open house for veterans. So I went, and there was this one man in a wheelchair. And he was a Vietnam veteran, and he was there for a long time, you know, it's, you know, at least a year or more. And but he's in a wheelchair, he's paraplegic, but he was not injured in the war at all. He went home to Texas, and someone had his uniform on, and someone threw a brick that hit him in the head.
Oh,
and
my
God. He was unconscious for a while, and he's paraplegic and has been since the 60s there. And he was just saying that, you know, all the time that I was in Vietnam, no injuries. Come home, and someone that wasn't pleased with the war.
Oh, wow.
Took it out on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably wasn't the only one, but he's one that, you know, I met and talked to on that cruise.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when all of you guys came home, you know, when the war was over, there was, like, no love.
No love at all. Mm-hmm.
Not at all. So,
that's
I mean,
true.
It's a different time, but you know, that's something that you have to live through that. And I had a lady I asked one time, was her husband any different than what he used to be? And she said, yes, now he will not sit with his back to the door.
Mm-hmm.
And no, he would not do it. He couldn't sit with his back to the door. So, you know, it's a lot of little things.
A lot of little things.
And that's really unfortunate. Especially when you say there are 1,626 people that remain missing in action. You know,
mm-hmm.
some of those people probably none of them will ever be found.
Probably not after all this time.
Right. I mean, they probably were shot up. You know,
mm-hmm.
any
mm-hmm.
kind of thing could have happened to these people. It's just horrible. War is horrible.
War is
really
horrible. Could have been blown to pieces and, you know, bits and pieces here and there.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever.
And maybe his buddies couldn't get his tags.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anything could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And hopefully, you know, I know you mentioned we may be looking for another one, but I'm hoping and praying that I'm really hoping that we don't, because it's really, you know, it's bad.
It is. And the countries, our cultures are so different. They think the way we think, and the basic religions are different. So it's a no-win situation.
But think mm-hmm. about it. Now we have all these atomic bombs
mm-hmm.
and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have them too. So, yeah. I mean, you know how I bet it wouldn't last as long as Vietnam.
No. No.
Because somebody's going to be gone. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
somebody's going to be gone. You won't survive that.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. And
okay.
we are listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Sam Cook, on tour now with wondrous stories, the life and music of my father, Sam Cook. You can find me at carlacook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
This is Terry from Texas, and I love listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And we're talking with Miss Fanny Johnson about her Vietnam experience. And I'd also like to remind my listeners that all you have to do is press the 1 and you will be streaming live. You can ask a question or you can make a comment. And right now, I'd like to ask Ms. Johnson, did you make any long-lasting friendships while you were in the service?
I did. And most of the people that I made those friendships with have passed on. As you get older, you know, you hear every day another one is gone. But I do have Marva, she's in Tennessee, and we still correspond. But I had some, you get very close friendships. Seems like in the military, those friendships really get close because they're all you have. They are your family. You're with them 24 hours. You work with them, and then you go back to the barracks, and you're still with them. The entertainment is with them, and I just hate that I've missed, you know, I've lost track of some of them. But I still have Marva, and one friend that was in Colorado, Shirley Holly, she just passed about 2 years ago. That was really tough. But those friendships, you don't forget those people because they were just like family. You were with them really 24/7.
So were there many black females in the service when you joined?
They were more Caucasian, white.
Okay.
But so we tend to stick together a bit more than in general. You know, if you were just if you were just at home or whatever, but we really stuck together very closely. And then in training, you were in training all day, you went back to the barracks, you studied together and whatever, so worked together. There were more of them, but coming up to the 60s, I think that many of the black women had the same idea. They wanted to go to college and didn't have the money to do it, and they knew that that GI Bill would pay for college. So
Did you guys go to college on the base? Was it college on the base?
No, it was after we were out. The schools, when I talk of training in the Army, that was on base. In basic training, you know, we had, you know, various subjects. You had the map reading and, you know, some medical training and just general information. And then in Texas, San Antonio, Texas, where the Alamo is located, they had the real medical training. And after that, they shipped you to wherever they were going to ship you. So, but that wasn't college training. The college training is the college of your choice after you get out and you, you know, file for those more or less VA benefits. They were, it was called the GI Bill at that time.
Right.
So that was good. That was, it was a good
thing.
And
it's good. It's good now, too, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to know if you're a veteran, then you get kind of extra. I had a brother who was in the Korean War. And as a matter of fact, his birthday was July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then my mom would send him a coconut cake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she did that. Now, this was years ago. I don't know how she did that, but somehow or another she knew how to do it and how to ship it. And I guess that's why I don't like coconut cakes right now. I mean, I don't. I don't too much care for coconut, but it's probably because she made so many for him.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I was younger, you know. I remember that. I do remember that.
Mhm.
But
I think we had more benefits then and even further back, World War One and Two, and the Korean War than now, because I know some people that are in and they're paying more of a portion of it, and it's really not fair because these people have been through wars too. They've been in Iraq and Afghanistan and whatever. So, and for the VA for purchasing your home,
right?
Most people don't accept it. Most mortgage
they don't?
Companies, no, they don't. They would rather have the conventional for some reason. I tried using mine and wasn't able to. So.
Are you kidding? That's unusual.
Not kidding.
I thought everything military. But you have a person that has a question or a comment, Lucy?
I just wanted to ask her, would she recommend, you think it's a good idea for our young people to go into the service before, you know, anything? Would you recommend that now?
You know, during wartime and in this threatening situation that it is now, I don't recommend that our young men go in. I'm just thinking of a joke that they had during the Vietnam War. I think a comedian said that this white family adopted this dog came from a black family, and whenever it would jump on the couch and they would tell him to get down, he would start dancing. That was supposed to have been funny, but they were talking about the Vietnam, those soldiers, in the black soldiers, said, why did so many of them get killed? Because whenever they say get down, they would start dancing. And that really wasn't funny. So,
no, it's not.
I would prefer that our young black men go to school. They don't draft them anymore. So go to school.
Right.
you know.
So far, they don't draft because I put nothing past Trump.
You're right so far because he didn't serve in the military.
Right, absolutely.
And many of the rich kids, they were in college or whatever, they did not serve in
the
military.
They get out of it,
many of them went to Canada to get out of going
into they did do that.
Service.
Do you have any children, Ms. Johnson?
Oh yes, I have two children. I have a daughter. She's working on her doctorate right now, Orletta Caldwell, and I have a son, Jesse, and he does home improvements. He's really good at it. He could build a house from basement to top. He does it all.
So none of your children went to the service?
My son was in the Marines.
Oh, okay.
He was in the Marines, but he was in the Marines during peacetime.
Okay.
And the Marines is really rough.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it's
they're the
really
first
rough.
Responders. I have a granddaughter who's a first lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
In the war, I mean, not a war, but in the service.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is she in the Army?
No, she's in the Marines.
Wow. Now, that is something. That is something.
Yes,
yeah, she has been through it. That basic training, and basic training now, it's even rougher for the women. Because of women's liberation. So,
She
has really, that's a great feat. A great
feat. She loves it. Well, she went to college.
Mm-hmm.
She got her degree. So when she went in, she went in as an officer.
As an officer. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She loves it. She loves it.
Well, I know some young women now, a friend of mine, even at church, Sister Shirley, one of her granddaughters is captain or whatever, and she did marry another captain, and she's doing just great.
Okay.
But she's Army. She's Army.
Well,
I know some of these young people. One was in the Army. I think her name is Stacy. So she was in the Army, and she finished up with the Army and turned around and went into the Marines. She had a baby and everything. Her mother, she was adopted. Her mother takes care of her with the baby and stuff. But she loves it.
Okay.
She loves it.
Well, during the time I was in, I really loved it. I thought that even though thinking back, some of it was really horrific, but it was still, it was a good experience. It was really a good experience, and it helped me to be, I think, calmer than I would have been and more stable than I would have been if I hadn't had that experience. But for our young men, some of them really need to go into the Army, whether there's a war or not, because they're not disciplined enough.
Right,
they
I
need
agree.
To learn discipline.
But didn't they used to do that years ago? Used to be the judge would tell you either go to the service or go to jail.
Mm-hmm. I think now
I heard that your
parents, you get you a job or you go into the service, but.
But you're absolutely right. A lot of our young men need that discipline.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they would make it.
It didn't hurt my son, I tell you.
Well, I had a friend.
He got away from a tough mother, but when he went into the Marines, he saw tough.
I had a girlfriend who said she almost lost her son with the boot camp thing. Mm-hmm. I guess it was so hard on him. I don't know. It's probably a lot.
Hard. It was hard even for me in those days. And I can remember just sitting crying one night. What in the world am I doing here? You know?
Yeah.
You just go with the flow. You do what they say.
Yeah, right. Take mm-hmm. orders. That's
Take
the name
orders.
Of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Miss Johnson, I really appreciate you. I'm going to take another commercial, and when we come back, I want you to give us a little bit of something that you want us to hang on to. What do you think we should take away from all of this?
Okay.
All right. And we'll be back with the Jenny White Show.
Just Jimene is a natural line of luxury creams and lotions. From our creamy shea to our thick frappe and our therapeutic body butter, we have eliminated the petroleum, the alcohol, and the water, and use natural oils and raw shea butter. Our products are made for the hair and the body naturally. For more information, visit us at www.justjamene.com or call us at 313-279-1494. That's www.justjamene.com.
Magnify his name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify his name.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have served the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show, and we've been talking with Miss Fanny Johnson, and we're talking about her being a Vietnam veteran. So right now, Miss Johnson, would you like to give us something we can kind of hold on to?
Well, actually, the Vietnam War was an unpopular war, and the service people were treated badly returning. But I think we're always going to have wars and rumors of wars. And thinking about it, your question about whether some of our young people should join the service. There are several branches. They can choose the branch they want. If there's a problem with money for college, but yeah, I think in Detroit we would not have that problem if they kept the grades up. But it would be good for many of our young men who are just aimless to go into the service just for the discipline, because it's lacking in the homes.
That's true.
And too many homes is lacking in. But for a suggestion, during wartime or when the rumors are really fierce for for example, like right now with Iran, I would suggest that our young men who really have it going on, just go to college. Just go to college.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just have a heart for our young black men and, our women, and our women, you know.
That's true.
Because many of the women are, I guess it's just a sign of the times. We're saying the millennials are doing this, the millennials are doing that or whatever. And it's just we're from different eras. And we think differently. We had different experiences, and we wouldn't necessarily expect them to do the same things that we did, but although we would hope that they would when we've, you know, done well, went to school and worked, because I tell everyone, get you a job somewhere and work. So that when you're older, you will have retirement because
Social Security is not
enough.
Not be available because they've been trying to get at it for years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely
right. You have to get older and older in even order to get it.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Isn't that something? So you're absolutely right. Yes. But I do want to thank you, Ms. Johnson. Oh, you can finish.
Well, I was just saying that really young people must go to school. They must work. If they don't want to do either, you need to join the military, but you will be in school in the military.
Yeah, they'll learn something.
They will. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hopefully they won't get kicked out.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Because it's a difference in the way people think now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's okay, too, because, you know, difference can be good.
Differences can be good.
Yeah. But the basic things are going to remain the same.
Yes.
Like God's word is going to
remain
the same.
All right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'd like to thank you for coming on and being my guest for tonight. I enjoyed you. And
yes,
I'd like to thank all of my listeners that called in. If you didn't make a comment or ask a question, that's okay, too, because I appreciate you for calling in. And the last thing I would have to say is pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. With that being said, have a good weekend, all of you. And this has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. All right.